Wouldn't you love to get paid for doing what you love to do? If you're ready to move on to what's next, join us for Circles of Change with Dr. Zara Larson. Our uplifting live talk show on Saturday mornings from 10 to noon will have you circling back, not running in circles, to pull your experience forward in new ways. Advance your career, plus help others with theirs. Join us Saturdays, 10 to noon, right here on 104.1 The Truth, for pragmatic advice and unconventional wisdom. Circles of Change with Dr. Zara Larson, where your path is created by walking on it. Welcome again on a hot, sunny day, as always, in Arizona, but most certainly this time of year. I welcome Bruce Frankel, and we're catching you at home now in Massachusetts. Bruce, welcome to the show.
You are. Thank you very much, in a very different climate than you, I'm sure.
That's right, or actually different than the climate you were experiencing in Florida with your mom for 3 months.
Absolutely. It was when I was taking care of my mom after her surgery. For 3 months, it was, I think, sunny every day, and probably every day about 70 or 80. And it was great being there, hard work sometimes, but the outcome was great. She's doing terrifically now. And I returned home after 3 months there to pick up the strings of my life and all the things that had to be put on hold. Of course, that meant facing up to a lot of things that had stacked up. And the big question, which is always a freelancer's question, is what to do next. I had finished a bunch of major projects. In fact, this week I received in the mail a copy of a book that I edited for Ron Daniel, who was the former managing partner of McKinsey & Company, and a really handsome book, and another book that I ghost wrote is coming out this month. So I have the nice products coming in hand, but now it's time to look forward, and I have to begin to face up to that, and the constant fear of being a freelancer, which is what's going to come next.
Oh, isn't that the truth? In fact, those of us that are running solopreneuring businesses of this nature, we often say we almost have to assume this mantle of being terminally unemployed so that we're always sharp, have the resume ready, know the elevator conversation, and not disingenuously set traps, but nonetheless, I think another way to put it is someone said to me, we have to live in wonder in a happy way. You know, I wonder when or how it's going to show up next. Because if we stay rooted in the side of, oh my gosh, will something show up, then the big F word, fear, comes in, doesn't it?
It does. I mean, that's a lovely way of putting it, being rooted in wonder, which I think is a really healthy attitude to have. And frankly, to depart a moment from the idea of fear, I've often honestly found that it's when I walk around with kind of faith in that wonder that things do descend almost miraculously.
Yeah.
And when you stay in the fear place, you know, you're often, things often remain invisible to you. And what, as I was thinking about this, I happened to read an article on nextavenue.org, which is PBS's website for 50 plus, that was an interview by my editor there, Richard Eisenberg, with an author named Julie Shipman, whose latest book is Act 3, Create the Life You Want. She's a Cincinnati-based career consultant who sometimes writes for Next Avenue. And what caught my eye in the interview was that she focused on, or the questions focused on, the reasons behind the paralysis that often holds people and keeps them back from taking the next step, that fear that intrudes and keeps people from moving on to a new job, or after they've raised a family, beginning to re-enter the workforce or starting a business. And, you know, though her book is aimed principally at women, Act 1 being, because she's talking mostly to women who had trained for careers and had careers, but then in Act 2 gave them up to get married and raise families, and now Act 3 they're have a chance to move into another phase of their lives, how they overcome those things that hold them back. And she often refers to pre-existing conditions.
And oh, by the way, those pre-existing conditions, that happens almost every point where we feel, or we feel we're getting stuck, is all the assumptions, all the baggage we've brought along, all the walls that have been built up, all the you can't do that's. But if you can get yourself to appreciate the positive pre-existing conditions, meaning circling back and saying, wait a minute, I've done that before, then you can step out.
Yeah, that's a great lesson. I hadn't really been thinking about that so much, but it is certainly one of the things that I've learned, and I've seen other people remembering the things that you've done that have been successful. Indeed, as I was planning to talk a little later, years ago, I suffered from cancer, and I went through hypnotherapy to help me get through that. And one of the great things that I learned in that was precisely that going back to my successes and things that I'd overcome. So one trance might be remembering how you learned to walk, how you learned to ride a bicycle, simple things that you've had success in, but remembering that once they weren't so easy, but you learned to pedal a bike, learned to have balance, and you learned to overcome them.
Yeah, that's exactly. Now, if I recall, because I think I remember reading Ms. Schussman's book, this idea of dealing with the pre-existing conditions, it's almost a matter of taking it one step at a time, isn't it, Bruce? It's like breaking this big journey down into pieces that you can take them, forthright, one step forward.
Yeah, I think it's, what she really says is to kind of ask yourself the question, if you could do anything, or if you could do this, what is it that would stop you? And then take the time to write it down. Write down the scenario. Everything that would get in your way. And writing it down is something many people suggest, that when you go through the process of putting in a journal and writing your fears down and putting them in evidence and kind of creating all the terrible scenarios, putting it on paper, then you have the opportunity to address each part of it on your list and to find the solutions for it, what she calls workarounds to resolve those issues. So, that might be, if, say, the issue is who's going to go to the pharmacy to get your mother-in-law medication. That might be realizing that, you can hire someone for a very small amount of money to go do that for you, and it doesn't have to be an encumbrance to your life.
Right. Or if you're in the midst of a job change, you might be sitting there saying, well, I don't have the computer tools yet to be able to write the kind of professional resume that it would take. But, oh, by the way, there's a lot of centers now that are publicly funded that could provide that help for you. Or you could find someone who pro bono would do that as a coach, or actually that it wouldn't cost that money to get a partner to help.
Yeah, that's very true. And also, people often raise the fear when they're reentering the workforce, or even older adults often fear that they don't have the technological skills. And that's really a relatively easy issue to cure, because there's so many available jobs or online things, and it's you can get a friend to teach you, or technology these days is in many ways there are so many people who can help you, and it's an easy thing to overcome in some take class and overcome.
Some of the things, though, that keep a lot of us back, I can tell you myself, is, and this is why it's always so important to surround yourself with new people, is the committee that I've carried around in my head that says you can't do that, or remember when you tried it before and it hurt because it didn't work. Or, for the best of intentions, the people that are with you now, they may be helping you in a way that actually is more to try to help themselves, meaning they may not want you to change, when in essence that's what you're trying to do. And here you are perhaps surrounding yourself with an incomplete circle of people to help.
Yeah, and that, I mean, I think in psychology they call that homeostasis. You know, that in system, you know, where we are part of these systems, and systems don't really want to change.
Absolutely.
They like remain the same, and change is uncomfortable. So often we do have to be aware of that even people who love us and care about us may be uncomfortable with change. And that, you know, it serves us well to really think about the issues and to interrogate the issues of what's getting in our way and why we can't, what's really going to happen if we do this thing.
It's almost like you've allowed a bully to stand in front of you. And, you know, so how you can cut that bully down to size, meaning if it's cut that fear or position it or reframe it so that you can still keep moving forward. And if anyone's ever confronted a bully, what you usually know is what's behind the bully is their own tremendous sense of insecurity. And, you know, that's how you can play to it.
Yeah, I think one way to do it. Another thing I think to do is maybe to see it more in more compassionate tone, mm-hmm. And maybe not as a bully, but you know, if you don't see it as so threatening as maybe a bully might be, but I think really having kind of a social awareness of why things happen is a huge value, and you know, allows for a more mindful approach. So that if you concentrate on the act of doing something, mm-hmm. Instead of what surrounds it, you don't get lost in that maelstrom of and drama of what people feel and emotions. You can just stay with the doing of the thing.
I think you're right, Bruce. And in fact, what you're talking about is some really powerful things to diffuse fear. And a good amount of it, doesn't it really start with the language that we choose to use?
Yeah, something that I have really thought a lot about in my life is language as a poet. And I was thinking last night, I was playing a game and thinking how important it is to change language. As I said earlier, when I was in hypnotherapy for a while, and I had this wonderful therapist who had been with, I'd been with from the time that I was dealing with my cancer 20 years ago. And I was thinking about quitting my job at Time Inc. as a senior writer there, but really struggling with it, really struggling with what it would mean to my family if I went back to school, if I was planning to, how disruptive it would be in terms of income and everyone's lives. And I kept framing it in my conversations with him, saying that if I take this leap, mm-hmm. if I jump off this ledge, and he stopped me and he said, no, listen to your language.
Mm-hmm.
Your language is governing you. You know, if we can change the metaphors that you use, we may be able to change the results. And so he suggested to me to think about moving from one job to another, or from my job to going back to school, as less like jumping off a ledge and more like walking from one room into
mm-hmm.
the next.
Mm-hmm.
And the oddest thing was that as soon as I had that image clear in my mind, that I was just walking over one threshold into another room, so much of my fear began to evaporate and I would return to that concrete image. So that language, I think, is incredibly important and can have very serious effects on how we handle things. And last night I started to play a game with the word fear and started to create equations for the word. So instead of fear, what if you replaced it with the word unquestioned?
The unquestioned.
Fear is the thing that we don't question, and it stays invisible to us as long as we don't interrogate it. But if we ask questions of it, if we really prod to see what it is, we may find out it's like the Wizard of Oz. There isn't really very much behind the curtain.
Right.
Or fear equals energy. This is something that I was listening to Timothy Ferris talk about a little, that fear is really just energy moving through our body. And that's a kind of interesting way to look at it, because energy is itself not harmful.
Correct.
It's how we use that energy.
We use it, right.
And so we can control it. It doesn't have to be. Or fear is just discomfort. And, you know, certainly the, you know, we all remember that things that have been most rewarding ourselves often began with a feeling of incompetence or embarrassment, whether that was in school or learning to do something like sing or dance. It was uncomfortable, but we got over it. And so I had messaged a bunch of my colleagues and friends and people I admire. One is a Philadelphia career advisor named Phyllis Monson, who would be a great guest for you sometime. And she wrote me to ask her about what she recommends. And she wrote me back saying that she really suggests using curiosity as a means to get beyond fear.
Right, that effect of that, yourself. Right, that wonderment. I wonder what.
Yeah, exactly. I wonder what. And, you know, what might I create if I did this? What can I make of my life? And also starting small and, you know, overcoming resistance. Maybe it's a stealthy way of overcoming resistance by taking small steps. And
I think the other one I know you wanted to mention, too, is that in some regards, and this might sound really contrarian, but that fear can become our friend, because it really becomes that motivator, right, to take some steps and do things different.
Yeah, I mean, I love that idea, actually. It's fear as a friend. It disarms it, first of all.
Yeah.
And, you know, we can... It gives us a chance, maybe, to, if we cease to see it as something that's threatening, to then begin to take it apart. And that, to me, is one of the most important things. And it goes hand in hand with taking small steps. It's precisely what I did when I wrote my own book, What Should I Do with the Rest of My Life? And I was scared about beginning something so grandiose as writing a book.
Exactly. And here you have been, of course, a multiple New York Times bestselling author, as well as the other things you gift out to the world. Now, well, Bruce, thank you so much for joining us. Again, for our listeners, Bruce Frankel, his book is What Should I Do with the Rest of My Life? And you can learn more about his work as well at brucefrankel.net. Take good care getting settled there in Massachusetts. We'll talk to you next month.
You too, and happy anniversary.
Thank you very much.
Change is chaotic. That is, unless you embrace it, going places you hadn't dreamed were possible. The Larson Group, Architects of Change, is a leadership consulting, executive coaching, and career transition firm. We help individuals make the most of their current employment situation or to step forward confidently into a career transition. Contact us at thelarsongroup.com or toll free 1-877-544-2580. The Larson Group, Architects of Change, helping others unleash potential through transformational change. 1-877-544-2580.